you for being here and being in your place. Well, Hebrews chapter 2, we're going to continue in our series, When You Can't Just Get Over It. What do we do when we face stuff that, quite frankly, we don't know what to do? And today we're going to talk about banishing bitterness. Banishing bitterness. Now, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, at verse number 15, looking diligently, lest any man fail the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. And Hebrews 12 provides for us a great passage on the subject of bitterness. How do we prevent the root of bitterness from taking hold in our heart? What do we need to learn from the Word of God that will help us banish bitterness from our lives? Dale Carnegie chronicled a visit to the Yellowstone National Park, where while they're seeing all the nature and sights and so on, they were there waiting for a particular geyser to go off, and a huge grizzly bear came from out of the woods and kind of into an open meadow, and there was some trash and some debris there, and he began just to kind of go through that and eat and so on, and some other animals kind of look, but no one dare get close to that grizzly bear. Dale Carnegie remembers as he was watching that scene unfold that a few minutes later, a skunk walked toward the meadow and walked right up to that pile of debris and began eating with the grizzly bear. And the grizzly bear looked down at the skunk and continued eating, and so did the skunk. And Dale Carnegie said, well, I guess the grizzly doesn't think it's worth it. And you know, sometimes in life, we get involved in things, and then we begin to think, what would we have to do to make this thing right? What would we have to do to get even? What would we have to do to put this thing in order the way that we think it ought to be? And oftentimes, our desire to get even or to make things right, eventually in our own hearts, leads to bitterness. And we want to learn this morning from God's Word how to banish that from our hearts. Now, no one likes to admit that they are bitter, but we have to be able to admit a problem before we can fix it. We may have people in our class this morning, in fact, it would not surprise me at all, that are struggling with bitterness in a crowd this size. But no doubt all of us will face it from time to time, and we need to know how to have victory over it and how to help others have victory over it as well. Now, bitterness has been described as a deep dissatisfaction with the circumstances of life. Literally, what are you talking about when you say get rid of bitterness? Well, a deep dissatisfaction with the circumstances of life. Bitterness is when that sliver of anger or disappointment or disillusionment is allowed to fester and it grows larger and larger and becomes infected in our heart. Now, most people in life at some point in time deal with bitterness. Even in the beginning stages, everybody deals with it from time to time. So how should we respond to bitterness? How do we get rid of it from our life and keep it out of our heart? And I want us to dive into that from Hebrews 12 in our study this morning. Let's notice, first of all, this morning, an explanation of bitterness. An explanation of bitterness. What are we talking about? Well, Hebrews described it as a root, the root of bitterness. Now, you cannot see roots. And oftentimes, bitter people are not usually able to tell you what's troubling them. It's beneath the surface. It maybe started with this or started with that, but it has grown, and it's very hard to articulate what exactly it is that is bothering them. Now, we know that roots usually are smaller than the plant they produce. And bitterness many times begins with something that is small and then begins to grow to a point where it can cause incredible damage. And so we've got to learn in life to deal with problems when they arise, when they start, when they're small. Spiritually mature people deal with problems right away when they're small so that they can be resolved without growing larger and larger and larger. In fact, the Bible challenges you and I, Ephesians chapter 4, wherefore putting away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. God says, don't go to bed with stuff wrong. You say, Brother Rule, if we implement that in our home, we would never go to sleep. You know, and I don't know exactly where things are at, but don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. Work things out. And God is challenging us. Bitterness is a deep dissatisfaction of the circumstances of life. It usually begins with something small that just grows and grows. If we'll get in the habit of dealing with stuff while it's small, even on a daily basis, which is what Ephesians is teaching, it will help you and I banish bitterness. Now, if we only deal with surface problems, the part that people can see, and we don't allow God to do the deep cleansing work in our heart, then nothing truly has been resolved. Have you ever tried to rid all of your weeds with a weed eater? It looks good for a day, but they all come back, right? Because the roots stayed in. Now, if we go out there and we pull the weeds, or we weed eat and then we spray and we kill the root of the weed, then they'll stay away for longer. But if we just take care of what people can see, there's a root issue that continues to grow and is not resolved. And so often in life, we only deal with the stuff we know people can see because we want to kind of save face as we interact with people. When in reality, there is a root issue that continues to grow, and we must deal with the root problem. We've got to get the entire root out. God says you've got to resolve the issue and be willing to get down to the root of it. So it doesn't matter what caused the problem in the beginning. It doesn't matter why maybe it has festered or has grown. If we don't deal with it, it's going to continue to grow. And if there's unresolved issues in our hearts and lives this morning, we have to deal with them. We've got to get all the way down to the root so that we can banish the bitterness that comes from it. So what can bitterness accomplish in our lives? And we learn this from this explanation. Notice letter A, the root of bitterness. The root of bitterness, Hebrews 12, talked about looking diligently, lest any man fail the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you. Now, it warns us that we could fail of the grace of God. God doesn't want, by His grace, for us to have bitterness. God doesn't want anyone in this room to be bitter. God knows that every one of us are going to face challenges. God knows that every one of us are going to face problems. God knows that every one of us are going to go through things that are not fair. God knows that all of our marriages are not going to be perfect. God knows that there's going to be days that are not as good as others, and there's going to be times at work or health trials or financial tribulation or whatever that we're all going to face. That's part of life. But God says, for that, I've given you grace. In fact, there's living grace. The Bible says in Acts 4:33, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and great grace was upon them all. Now, God saves us by grace, but then He gives us grace to live life. It is not God's will for anyone in this room to be bitter. So let's take that to the definition. It is not God's will for anyone in this room to be deeply dissatisfied with the circumstances of your life. That's not God's will. And you say, well, yeah, but Pastor Gabe, that's exactly what I'm facing. And God says, I want to resolve that by my grace. I want you to have my grace so that you can handle your life as it is and work through it, banishing the bitterness from your heart. And so we see this bitterness coming from the root and growing, and how we need God's grace to resolve it. Then letter B, we see the results of that bitterness. When we don't get rid of the root problem, boy, how bitterness can grow, and what a mess it brings. In fact, the Bible said in Hebrews 12:15, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Now, bitterness really hurts the person who contains it. But boy, it begins to spread like a plague and hurt everybody around them as well. And we see the results of this bitterness. First of all, we see in our notes that the first result of bitterness is that you are troubled. Bitterness affects you more than it does anybody else. Sometimes in our deep dissatisfaction with the circumstances of life, our motive is that this person hurt me, this person did this, this person said that, this thing happened, that thing happened over there. And so I'm going to be bitter. I'm going to be deeply satisfied with everything about my life. I'm going to be really mad. I'm going to be really rude. I'm going to be really sulky about it. And they're all going to pay for it. And the reality is they're not paying anything for it. You are. Bitterness hurts the person that contains it more than it does anybody else. That's the first result of bitterness every time, is that the person who's bitter is severely troubled. But then secondly, we see that the result of bitterness is that others become tainted. Now we read in Hebrews the illustration of Esau. we know that God had made a promise to Rebekah that Jacob would receive the blessing. And as life began to take its course, and Esau was sent to kill the venison and to receive the blessing, Rebekah, assuming God had forgotten about his promise, intervene, manipulate so that Jacob can be blessed. And all of that was done out of the bitterness of her heart that God had reneged upon his promise, which he had not. It had just not been done according to her time or her expectation. And as a result of that, not only does Rebekah live a bitter life, but Jacob now is the deceiver and Esau is profane. Both of their lives are damaged as a result of the bitterness of their mother. And our bitterness, if not dealt with, no doubt begins to affect other people. In our marriage, in our home, within the church, in our workplace, it begins to permeate every facet of our life, and people suffer because of the bitterness that we allow to go unchecked in our heart. So then it leads us, letter C, to the remedies for bitterness. Okay, so bitterness is a reality. It's a deep dissatisfaction of the circumstances of life. God doesn't want us to have it. He's telling us we have to deal with the root problem. How do we do that? We're all going to face problems. How do we face them differently or successfully with God? Well, let's jump into that. First of all, to recover from bitterness, we must forgive. The Bible says in Matthew 6:15, but if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And God forgave us immediately. God forgave us completely. God forgave us permanently. And God wants you and I to forgive like him according to his grace. So we'll learn more about that next hour. But to receive bitterness, we must first forgive. Forgiveness is a command, and to obey that command is our choice. But God will enable us to do so if we will follow him obediently. So we've got to forgive. If we hold that grudge, if we withhold that forgiveness, if we refuse to give it, then God is clear, we will suffer as a result. If we're going to banish bitterness, we must forgive. Secondly, to recover from bitterness, then we must also forego. Now, we've got to forgive, but then we've got to let things go. If we really forgive someone, then it's done, and the matter has become settled. It was Dr. Clarence Sexton that gave this definition. Forgiveness is releasing your right for retaliation. Releasing your right for retaliation. I'm going to forgive and I'm going to forego. I'm going to forgive and I'm going to let this thing go. When you and I are wronged by people, and every one of us will be wronged by people, we have two responses according to the Word of God. One, we can choose not even to take offense. The Bible says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. If I have great love for this book, and if I'm daily walking with the Lord, then when stuff happens in life that doesn't go my way, I can just choose to be okay with that. To just recognize that's kind of part of what life is. That I'm going to face stuff that doesn't go my way. Stuff's going to happen to me that's not fair. Things are going to happen that I would choose to happen in a different way. And I can just respond. I'm not going to take offense to that. I'm just going to let that go. Or secondly, if I do take an offense to it, then I am to deal with that offense biblically. I'm to forgive. I'm to restore. I'm to move on. So either not be offended at all or restore and deal with that offense as the way as God commands in his word. Now, comedian Buddy Hackett said this, I've had a few arguments with people, but I never carry a grudge. You know why? While you're carrying the grudge, they're out dancing. And you know what in life? When you and I have a problem or get at odds with somebody and we just let that thing fester in our heart and we think about it, it grows. We want to get at them, we want to get even, we want them to get what's theirs. I mean, it just takes on a life of its own. The reality is, the person suffering from that more than anybody is us, containing the bitterness in our heart. And God says, you've got to release that. Forgive and forego. Let go of it. If a man does wrong, he's going to answer to God. Let's not make him answer to us as well. That's not our job. Let God deal with that. Let's just forgive and move on. I love Joseph. We've studied Joseph already in this series, so I'm not going to sidetrack here too much. But think about Joseph. Joseph had a case for bitterness. His brothers hated him, wanted to kill him, sold him into slavery. Potiphar's wife lied about him. The butler and baker forgot about him. He's in prison. He's forgotten about. He's forsaken. He's mistreated. He's abused. It's unfair. The whole nine yards. Into Joseph's life, after he had been used to save life, he said, "They meant it unto me for evil, but God meant it unto me for good." Joseph had the right perspective. God's in control. He's on the throne. He knows what I'm facing. He knows the way that I take. He'll see me through. I can trust him. It's our response to the offenses that we face, rather than the offenses themselves, that determine whether or not bitterness is going to take root. Listen, class, everyone in this room is going to face an offense. Everyone in this room is going to be wronged. Life is not going to be fair for anyone seated in this room. That's life. It's how we respond to it that determines whether or not bitterness is going to take root in our heart. So we've got to understand bitterness and what God wants us to do with it. And then let's look secondly at an example of bitterness. Now, okay, we're seeing all that, but how does this really look? Well, the book of Ruth tells a story about Naomi and her family that illustrates bitterness in a beautiful way. Now, Naomi and her family went to Moab. They left Bethlehem in a time of famine. God did not want them to leave. Bethlehem was their homeland. Bethlehem is where God wanted them to be, but they did not trust God. When the famine came, they took matters into their own hands, and they went to Moab to have food and to kind of preserve their own life. Well, problem happened. They got out of God's will, and in Moab, they began to face problems. Naomi's husband dies. Her sons marry ungodly women, and then her sons die. Now Naomi is in this foreign land with two daughter-in-laws that don't know her God, and she's miserable. And in that moment of misery, she decides to go back to her homeland, Bethlehem. And as she returns home, she tells everybody, "Don't call me Naomi anymore. Call me Mara," which means bitter. That's who I am now. I'm bitter. I would say that's an illustration of bitterness right there. There was nothing pleasant left in this woman's life and her countenance. She comes back. She feels like God's dealt very bitterly with her. She's angry. And we see the effects of bitterness, but in this story, we're going to see the cure for bitterness as well. So let's run through it in the time that we have. What is bitterness? Well, notice, first of all, bitterness blooming. Now, Naomi was a person that bitterness was blooming in her life. And she suffered. There's no doubt about that. She watched her boys marry outside of her preference. She watched her husband die and then her sons die. But that wasn't the reason she was bitter. She was bitter because of the way she reacted to what unfolded in her life. And let's run through it very quickly. Notice this in your notes. First of all, Naomi was unsatisfied. The place that God had for Naomi and her family was Bethlehem. That was God's will for them. But a famine came and it began to become uncertain how our needs going to be met and where's our food going to come from. And so on their own, they decide to go out of God's will and over to Moab. They had forgotten the promise of God. The Bible says in Philippians 4:19, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." And class, can we be reminded this morning that even good places have problems? Well, you know, life just isn't going like I thought. I think we got to go someplace else. Well, you know, Lancaster, Brother Gabe, it's just getting bad. I think we got to go to, you know, wherever. And for them, God had them in Bethlehem. That was God's will for their family. But a famine was coming and their needs were being threatened. And they took matters in their own hands and they said, "We need to get out of here." They didn't ask God. They didn't pray about it. They didn't seek counsel. They just went because of their dissatisfaction with the circumstances of life. They began to take life in their own hands. And boy, did it lead to big problems. Now, you know what in life? If we're not careful, we too can focus on the negative and blame God. Sometimes this happens even in the realms of marriage, where the Bible says in Colossians 3:19, "Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them." You say, "Well, yeah, but they're mean or they're this or they're that." Listen, they may not be perfect, but neither are you. None of us are perfect. And sometimes in the context of the relationships that we value most, we develop this symptom of not being satisfied. And we're not satisfied over and over again, and so we believe that we need someone else. And that's certainly not God's will. What a blessing it was yesterday to see Harold and Lisa get married. And as they stood at that altar over in Revels and they communed a vow one to another and to God, we pause to remind that this vow is to God. It is till death do us part. It's not, well, while things are going good. It's not, well, while we're here. It's forever. While we have breath, we are committed one to another and to God to be in this relationship. That's what marriage is. And we're not to become dissatisfied because there's problems. We're to be reminded, this is reality. We work through these things. But Naomi, she was dissatisfied. She took matters into her own hands and she left the land where God had called her. And this led her to the fact that she was unsettled. So because of these problems, she leaves home. She takes her family with her. And she leaves the people who loved God. And she goes into a land and into an area that did not even know God. We live in a very unsettled culture today. 20% of Americans move every year. It's unbelievable. And sometimes it might be God's perfect will. He's taking someone from here, moving them there for this divine purpose. But oftentimes it's people running from one problem to greener grass to this or that or the other. Because there's just this spirit of unsettled. We're anxiously looking for that new job. Oh, it's going to be so much better than what we have to deal with now. That new car. Where the air works, that new house that's bigger and better, you know, that new whatever. Because we think if we get that, then we'll be satisfied. But it doesn't always work that way. Sometimes that unsettled spirit in our heart never has an answer. And Naomi was discovering that in a real way. Some people are looking for that perfect place, and we all know it just doesn't exist. So she was dissatisfied. The famine was coming. She was unsettled. She moves to Moab. But then we see that Naomi was unfortunate. When they got to this supposed better place where there was food and nourishment and everything was going to be okay, her husband and her sons die. It didn't go the way she thought it would go. Now she wants to go home. You know, isn't it interesting that many times when we get away from the plan that God has for our lives, life gets difficult? You know why that is? Because God, as our Heavenly Father, is trying to get us back to where we're supposed to be. Sometimes I interact with people and they just say, Bill Rowe, look at all these problems. And I want to say, look at the direction you're going. You don't want all those problems? Turn around. Go back here where God had you. It's a lot better. Sometimes we're our worst enemy. We want to look at our life and say, what a mess. And God says, what? I kind of told you it would be. This is the way life is supposed to be lived. Go do it that way. But Naomi ran from God and she faces this great tragedy and heartache. And then at the end of it all, her daughters-in-law, the ones who did not know God, they come to her and they say, we'll go with you. These wicked girls were willing to leave their homeland, go with her back to Bethlehem, to the land where they could learn about God. And Naomi tells them no. Naomi was so obsessed with her own difficulty that she wasn't even thinking about the eternality of these two women. Where they were going to spend an eternity was no concern of Naomi's. The only thing she could think about was her problems. Naomi had become very unfortunate. Then we see next that she was unhelpful. She sends Orpah, one of the daughter-in-laws, back to Moab, and she tried to send Ruth back as well. She didn't want help, and she wasn't willing to help anyone else either. Sometimes when we allow bitterness to take root in our heart, we become so disenchanted with God and with other Christians and with the need of others. The only thing we can think about is ourselves and our problem. And instead of wanting other people to know God, we end up being used to drive people from God. That's what was happening here in Naomi's life. She was becoming very unhelpful. We see that Naomi was unholy. She goes back to Bethlehem, her homeland, and she tells the people there, the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. That's what she said. The Almighty God, He hath dealt very bitterly with me. She begins to accuse the people in her homeland. She begins to accuse God that God had dealt unjustly with her. Now, we can see that she suffered her husband dying, her sons dying. But wasn't that the result of them leaving the will of God? But that's not how Naomi saw it. Naomi said, this is God's fault. Isn't it amazing that when we willfully choose to disobey God, we still want to blame Him for the consequences we face? That's exactly what Naomi was doing. God said, don't do this. She did it. Then she said, God, this is your fault. God can't win. That's what was happening with Naomi. And by the way, that's happening today. God tells us how to live. Sometimes we say, I don't want to. And we go do this. And then bad things happen. And we say, God, what's going on? You're sleeping? I mean, did you not see this? And God says, yeah, that's exactly why I told you not to do that. Because His chastisement still follows disobedience. We've got to remember that God is good all the time. That our obedience precedes the blessing of God. But Naomi was unholy. She wasn't seeing it in that way. Her mind wasn't thinking correctly. And so now she's blaming God for the very things that she had brought upon herself. And we see that Naomi was unhappy. By the way, unholiness always leads to being unhappy. The people back in Bethlehem were shocked to see her. Her countenance had changed. Her visage had changed. She said, call me Mara, for I am bitter. And everything about her was indeed very unhappy. Bitterness also often shows up in our face and in the way we speak. Naomi was very unrealistic. She said, I went out full, but I have come in empty. Well, I thought you went out because there was a famine. She couldn't remember the past accurately. Sometimes in a moment of bitterness, we think that the way it used to be, it was so much better. But look at the despair that I'm in today. The reality is she left because of a famine. She did not wait for God's provision, His promises to come to fruition. She took matters into her own hands. And when she did, things went wrong. Sometimes when somebody is dealing with bitterness, their part in the problems in which they have experienced, they don't remember that anymore. They're like in these circumstances that were made up by aliens. They forget the fact that they actually made some decisions that led exactly to where they are right now. Naomi didn't recall that she had disobeyed God. Naomi did not recall that she left God's homeland. Naomi did not recall that she did not patiently wait for the Lord's provision. She just recalled that God forsook her. That wasn't the case at all. God indeed provided for the people in Bethlehem. Naomi just wasn't there for that provision. And she suffered as a result of her own decisions. And now her perception had become her reality. She was very unrealistic. And then we see that she was unappreciative. She said that she was empty. She's coming back empty. Well, I thought Ruth was with her. I mean, she tried to send Oprah and Ruth away, but Ruth refused. And Ruth came back to Bethlehem with Naomi. She didn't come back empty. She had Ruth with her. But because of her bitterness, she could not value correctly. Ruth was not the asset to Naomi that she truly was in Naomi's mind because of her bitterness. Naomi thought everybody had forsaken her when indeed God never did, and neither did Ruth. Naomi comes back into Bethlehem, tells everybody, call me Mara, I am bitter, I left here full, and I come back empty, and Ruth is by her side. Naomi was suffering from bitterness and was very unappreciative. She was so focused on her losses that she could not appreciate what she had gained in Ruth. Bitter people struggle to appreciate things they should. They're consumed with the mistreatment they face, the unfairness that they've suffered, that they have a hard time understanding the goodness that is still in their life. But Naomi's story has a happy ending. No doubt she suffered. No doubt she made some mistakes. No doubt she came back bitter. She told everybody. In fact, she named herself that. But notice letter B, bitterness banished. What did Naomi do to get out of that, Brother Rule? How can we learn to banish bitterness? Look at it as we close. Number one, we see the first step in overcoming bitterness is repentance. Now, repentance is a change of mind. And this began in Naomi's life when she decided to go back to Bethlehem. She had gotten out of God's will. Her husband dies. Her sons die. Nothing went the way she thought. And so she said, I've got to go back to my homeland where God wants me to be. Remember the story in Luke 15 of the prodigal son? He spends up his inheritance in riotous living. He's now working as a slave, feeding the pigs. And the Bible says while he's there, feeding the slop to the hogs, that he came to himself. He mentally remembered what it was like living at home. and he decided anything is better than where I am right now. What was that a picture of? Repentance. Turning from what I'm doing to what God wants me to do. Anyone in this room struggling with bitterness, the first step to banishing that bitterness is overcoming that bitterness with repentance. Turning from the bitterness and turning to what God wants you to do and where God wants you to be. This all happened for Naomi when she left Moab and she went back to Bethlehem. Then we see the next step is a return. Not only a repentance, but then a return. Naomi didn't just change her mind. Naomi just didn't think, well, that would be nice. Naomi decided and then physically made the journey back to Bethlehem. You and I cannot just bury the past. We cannot just decide to, well, we're just going to forget about it, so to speak. We have to make sure that the issues are resolved. Whatever it is that's causing the bitterness in our heart, it has got to be dealt with. We can't leave class this morning and say, you know what, Brother Rule, you're right. I was struggling from bitterness, and now I'm not. There it goes. Victory. You know, that's only $50 an hour. Whatever you want to give me on the way out, it'd be great. That's not the way it works. That's not how you get rid of bitterness. You take whatever that is and you get it out from underneath the rug. And you say, God, I don't know why necessarily, but I have allowed this to cause problems in here. And God, I want you to help me to deal with this. Now, what does that mean, deal? Well, remember what we studied in the beginning? Forgive, forego. So I can't take this and put it under the rug. I've not solved anything. I've just hidden it. Lord, would you help me to forgive that? Would you help me to refuse my right to retaliate? When can I truly say, okay, check that box. That's been forgiven. And then when can I forego? When can I just say enough? I'm not picking that up again. I'm not referencing that again. I'm not throwing that in their face again. I'm not blaming God for that again. I'm not thinking about that again. I'm going to forego. That's healing over bitterness. I will forgive and I will forego. I will deal with the matter at hand. I've got to refocus my thinking. I've got to return back to where God wants me. And then thirdly, Naomi overcame bitterness with a refocusing. She went from focusing on her so-called mistreatment to focusing on Boaz. Now, I don't have time to develop it, but Naomi and Ruth get back to Bethlehem, and Boaz is there, and he allows Ruth to come to his field and to gather grain to go home to feed Ruth and Naomi. In fact, Boaz notices Ruth, falls in love with Ruth, and Boaz marries Ruth. Now, Boaz is the kinsman redeemer. He's a type of Jesus Christ. And the story that is taught here in the scriptures is this. The only hope any person has to banishing their bitterness is to stop looking at their troubles and to look at Jesus Christ. They have to stop every morning reviewing what happened and how it made them feel and how hurt they were and rehearsing it over and over and over again. They've got to stop doing that. And they've just got to think about Jesus Christ. Naomi couldn't live in Bethlehem as Mara and thinking about her husband dying in Moab and her two boys dying and all the bad things that happened. Naomi had to see Ruth with Boaz, the kinsman redeemer who loved Ruth, who provided food for them, who showed love to them, who cared for them. And when Naomi got her eyes off her problems and got her eyes on God, her bitterness was gone. When you and I decide we'll no longer look at our troubles and begin looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, our bitterness can be gone. So banishing bitterness. Everybody faces it, a deep dissatisfaction in the circumstances of life. What does God want? For you to get rid of it. What does Satan want? To get it in your heart and never let it go. And so we have to make a decision. What are we going to do with it? Are we going to let Satan have his way? And are we going to hang on to it no matter what the Bible says and continue to go through life bitter? Or are we going to say, God, with your help, I want to get rid of this. So help me. Help me like Naomi to come to my senses and understand God has a will to get back to where you want me to be, and then to focus on you. Because with God's help, we can banish any bitterness that we face. And let's this week live victoriously. Let's this week pray one for the other as people face problems. And let's this week, as we come into contact with others that maybe are suffering, let's point them to Jesus Christ. Because if they'll look at him, they can have victory no matter what it is they face. Heavenly Father, we sure love you. We thank you for some time in your word this morning. And Lord, as we look at these subject matters, what can we do when we don't know what to do? When we just can't get over it, what's the answer? And Lord, may we look to you. And today, as we learn about Naomi, a woman who no doubt was bitter and yet became victorious, how did she do it? Help us to apply those steps and truths to our lives. May we not look at our troubles and problems, but may we look at you. And would you help us to have victory over bitterness? Bless our class. I know they've labored a lot this week. They've served at VBS. They've done much. God, I pray that you'd bless them. Bless their families. Bring us back safely next Sunday is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.